This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. And holy shit, did that dude from SoundCloud not give a fuck that the show was leaving? Petey, you should have told that guy you wanted to kiss his belly, because at least then he would have showed he cared about something that you had to say. I mean, I don't know, my aunt does a podcast from a basement on knitting stuffed kittens and shit. I'm starting to think maybe I should give her a call and see if she'll let me get in on that bad boy. Because if Robert Kelly in Riotcast heard SoundCloud's heroic indifference to the show's departure, this shit may be done before it even begins. Wow, was that conversation brutal. Later.
Pete and Sebastian Show. We are back. A lot to get into. What's going on, Sebastian? You're out in Philadelphia, correct?
Out in Philadelphia. Be at Helium this weekend. And we are fresh off a Conan O'Brien appearance from Pete on Wednesday night. I saw it. I thought it was fantastic. The outfit looked fantastic. And word out on social media, the shoes you had on, boots, whatever the hell it was, apparently left a lasting impression on the fans.
They left a lasting impression on me, bro. I was like a suburban housewife after a wedding. Back in the car service going home, two huge blisters on my heel, rubbing my stupid sock like a lady. Listen, when you do stand up as long as we have, and then the first thing people compliment is the outfit, which anybody can do, it's a little off-putting, and I haven't had a chance to really talk to anybody, specifically you. So seriously, bro. We're going to be doing this show for many years. We've become very good friends. Was that all right? That said, you think it's...
I thought the set, you hit it on the nose, slow build.
Yeah.
And I told you, and I don't know if you felt it when you went out there, that that crowd is hard to get going, no?
Yes, it is. And it's you know, don't you also find, though, no matter what, when you do a TV set on a show like that, a five-minute thing, it's a fraction of what you would do if someone saw you live, because you're really confined to certain, like, you know, you can't move much. There's certain jokes you can't do. You have to stick to the set that was agreed upon for time purposes. Although the Conan guys are cool. They're like, if there's a crowd moment, man, do your thing. But yeah, man. And no matter what, when you first come out, it's so funny, right, bro? You're always for a second or two, just like, all right, let me take this all in. Let's, you know, it's like, just a different vibe. So yeah, the first couple jokes, I was like, all right, if I don't get more of a reaction the rest of these, I'm going to fucking turn over a desk, I swear to God. You know? But I did hear Conan laughing, which was good, you know. And then they started to warm. And then, you know, and then it's like, give me 10 minutes. I'll bring this fucking place, you know. We'll have some fun. Good evening.
I'm very excited to be here. Very excited. Sometimes, you gotta understand, sometimes comedians say that and we don't necessarily mean it. Like, I was playing a club recently on the outskirts of Toledo, Ohio, all right? And at one point, I don't know why, but I yell out to the crowd, I'm like, I'm excited to be here in Toledo. Some woman up front leans over and yells out, technically, you're in Perrysburg. I go, technically, I'm not excited to be here. We're all just exchanging pleasantries. Well, women are intense, man. Even my own wife. We got stuck in a hotel elevator recently for like 10 minutes, okay? My wife looks over at me, right? She's like, check the ceiling hatch. I go, what? She goes, check the ceiling hatch, see if it's unlocked. I go, why? So Bruce Willis has a way to get down here and save him? I'm like, what if it is unlocked? You really think I'm gonna climb out of the elevator, shimmy up that cable one, and pry open the door to the next level so we can get back on with the mission that we must be on? I thought we were going for coffee, but apparently we were on a secret mission that I hadn't been debriefed on yet. The hotel, gave us a bottle of champagne for the inconvenience, and I accidentally spilled it all over the carpet. And I bring it up because the emotional difference between spilling something in your own home as opposed to spilling it in a hotel room, it's fascinating, right? But you spill something in your own home right away, you're like, give me a rag, hurry up, it's gonna stain. You spill the same thing in a hotel room, you're like, ooh, don't step there, you'll wet yourself. It's good though now, but I have a baby. I have a one and a half year old baby. And it's good because it diverts my wife's attention for once, you know? But I'm no spring chicken. This kid came out of nowhere. I gotta tell you. My wife's no spring chicken either. Even my best friend, right? He comes up to me recently. He's like, dude, are you ready? 17 years from now, are you ready to be up all night waiting for your daughter's boyfriend to drop her back off? I go, 17 years from now, I'm not even gonna be awake when he picks her up. I don't know what you're talking about. Bring him by in the morning when daddy's going fishing. I'll meet him then. Not really. I don't really fish. I live in a small town now, though, where a lot of men fish. They're always talking about the lake and how close it is. And I'm always like, bro, I wouldn't fish if there was a lake in my living room. I almost went fishing with a guy, though, because I like eating fish. Who doesn't, right? So I call him up. We're going to go fishing. The day before, I call up. And I'm like, what are we fishing for anyway? And he goes, oh, it doesn't matter where we're going. It's catch and release. Holy, thank God I called. I almost drove 4 hours to a lake to catch fish, let them off the hook, and put them back in the water. I'm like, bro, if that's fishing to you, I would rather just stay in the city and go parking. He's like, what do you mean? I go, no, that's when you drive around, you look for a spot, then you pull in, and then you pull back out.
Yeah. You pull back out.
And then after you pull back out, then you drive around, look for another spot, while you discuss how exciting it was that you just found that last spot. It's a hobby, though, man. I need a hobby, right? Even like my dad loves golfing, my brother loves golfing. I tried to watch recently the Ryder Cup, the international best golf tournament. I'm like, let me watch a little of this. I'll call up my dad. After like two holes, there's like my eyelids are just, there's weights on them. I just can't stay awake. So then I figure I better take a nap. I go in the other room, I lay down, close the shades, and now I'm wide awake, right? And that's when it dawned on me. Golf, played at its highest level, is still more boring than the dark. There's no other way to see it. Speaking of sports, though. Now raising this kid, it's a crazy time raising kids, right? They're all equal, no losers. I went to my niece's Little League game out in Jersey, right? My niece is 8 years old. Now her team was up 10-3 after two innings. My brother comes walking up to the little bleachers, right? My brother yells out, he's like, what's the score? I'm just about to tell him. A mother on the other team stands up and she goes, the score is having fun to having fun. We don't keep score at this age, guys. My God. I look at my brother, I'm like, yeah, well, so far, we had fun 10 times. Yeah. And they had fun 3 times. And I had fun. Dan, thank you very much.
How come they never give us 10? Give me 10.
Well, it used to be like 8.
Really?
In the Carson years. Yeah, I remember Carson used to have the guy on 7-8 minutes. I was like... And then when I first got to do my first one, I was like, 4.5. 4.5, it takes me, it's enough to, 4.5 minutes is for me enough to smell the cologne that I'm wearing.
Yeah. I mean, it takes me 30 seconds just to greet.
Yeah.
Damn. So
So how was it? You got there, you go in the back, any interaction between any of the other guests? Conan come back? Did you meet him? Give me a lay down.
Well, all right. There's a few things. First of all, car service guy picks us up. I don't like when somebody is doing a job they're being paid to do for you, but yet they're complaining about not wanting to do the job and just not being happy in general. You know what I mean? Like we're in the car and the driver starts telling us how, yeah, this is hard work. I used to play guitar and it didn't pan out. And now I have to do this because you got to eat, you know? You got to eat. And Sometimes I think about just doing something illegal, you know, just trying to get away with something. I'm in the bathroom.
What?
This is all being said to me and Jackie while we're going in the car. I paint, too. That's my real thing. I go, oh, wow. Yeah, I hear you, man. Everyone's got their passion. Yeah. Want to see my book? Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. He said, want to see my book? And you can ask my wife next time you see it. Then he handed us his art book with all of his drawings and paintings. And we would flip through it on our way to Conan, as he would say, go to page 192. That one I'm actually blowing up. Right now I'm working on a giant canvas of that sketch in the garage. And now you have to go, wow, yeah, no, that's a beauty. I could see that one being really big, looking good on a wall. Am I fucking doing TV in a half hour? What the fuck? Bro, is it ever about me? Ever?
No, it's not. I mean, at any point, are you saying, I hope the guy just shuts up so I can kind of get in my head, think about my set? I mean, do you really want to get into this conversation a half hour, an hour before you hit the stage?
No, I don't want to be in this conversation a half hour before I do anything, let alone perform. And Jackie's being so polite. I tell her, I go, dude, you really come across like you're interested in those paintings. So when we go home, fucking zip it, all right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about his paintings going home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, we get there and, you know, it was really great. It was, you know how it goes, man. It's the guy JP who books Conan is like, just can't be a nicer guy, man.
Yeah.
And I met Jimmy Pardo.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool,
cool dude. And they were asking about, he was like, used to be on Sirius, right? And he goes, what are you doing? You're doing, so-? I go, yeah, I do a podcast now at Sebastian. He goes, yeah, right. I saw that in the thing that Conan's going to say. And I go, yeah, man, fucking really dig doing this podcast. Podcasts are really good, are really fun. And he goes, I bought a house with one. And I forgot, he's got some really popular podcast.
He does. So
yeah. Cool. Pardo something. I don't know. Maybe Luke can plug it right here. Play it. It'll let the people know. I don't know. But he was a nice guy. Real nice. And, dude, you know what's funny, though? You know how when you get to these things early and on your – when you go to your green room, you know, you
oh,
got
– wait. Let's not skip over this house deal.
The what?
What's he making that he bought a house with one?
Bro, you know, you're right. What? I don't know what he's making. I know it's very popular. If you went on to podcasts right now.
I'm there. I'm looking for it.
Google Jimmy Pardo podcast.
Is that the name of the podcast?
I think his name is in the title somehow. Like, you know, like it's not just the Jimmy Pardo show, but I think it's like something to do with Pardo something. But if you Google Jimmy Pardo podcast, something will come up.
Podcast Never Not Funny.
Yeah, the Jimmy Pardo Never Not Funny podcast.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Never Not Funny. My name is Jimmy Pardo. Boy, I don't like the way I sound at all. Is that on me? Is that my voice?
Well, you weren't on the mic.
No, I was on the mic. I was right on the mic.
Well, not initially.
But that, what's going on? Is it headphones? I think it's my voice.
I'll turn you up. Yeah, you sound sick, which you are.
Well, sick's a strong word. It's allergens. I've got allergens
that
are affecting my left, specifically my left nostril.
Yeah.
House. We can't even buy Lou a carton of cigarettes. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Oh, man. We haven't made dime one from this damn thing. And we're, what, 140 episodes in?
100. Oh, brilliant.
This guy's got he's number 39 on the top 100 of iTunes. He's 39. So is that the benchmark for a home?
I don't 39? Know. We need to get a hold of the whatever show is number 40 and see if they got a house.
40 is Shane Dawson. We should get him on the line and go, bro, what have you bought with the podcast money?
Yeah, what's the drop off from house?
Oh, God.
Excuse me. Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? Coughing up a tongue?
Don't you go dying on me.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, but we're off for greener pastures where we're going with the cast. By the way, we got to, as it gets closer, we got to discuss. Last year we chose not to, but maybe we'll rethink it this year. We have to discuss possible Christmas gifts for Jimmy from Boston and Lou.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta step it up a notch this year since we're making so much damn money.
And DJ Lou, by the way, we had to put a rush job, not really on this recording, not really, but we usually get it to Lou by Thursday night or early Friday morning, but we had to get it to him a little earlier because he's leaving Friday once again to follow Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam.
Oh, God, now where's he going?
I don't know. I didn't even look it up, but I am telling you, man, do you think he's going to look back when he's 80 and go, what the fuck was I following this grunge singer around my whole life for? I don't even know why I was doing that. Or you think
look back. He might be going, he still might be going to these damn things.
What would he do if Eddie Vedder, like, stopped touring, God forbid, passed away? What would Lou do?
Watch your mouth, young man.
I don't know. I have no idea. He'd think he'd be lost.
Oh, my God. He really would be. So, hey, we also have to get into good hanging the other night.
Good hang. Yeah, Pete was in town with his beautiful wife, no baby. They checked in at a hotel. Tell the listeners what happened at the hotel.
All right, I got a 4 o'clock check-in time. I get into the hotel at 2, and this is one of these expensive, fancy places. So we were treating ourselves on a level we don't normally do. So you get there at 2, the room's not ready. The sheeshiness sometimes I can't take out here, man. Yeah. Even like when we went out to dinner with you guys, great call, loved the food, really cool restaurant. But they called all the entrees proteins. I just couldn't get over that. It was driving me nuts. The waiter kept saying, these are your proteins. And I know part of him doesn't even want to be saying that. It's just the job. But great restaurant. We'll get into that. So we get into the hotel. They go, the room's not ready yet. And they got a ridiculous roof deck here at this hotel. It's called the Petit Hermitage. I'm not recommending it. Don't take that as a recommendation. The service is a little suspect. Hotel, beautiful, quaint, service, suspect. So they go, you can hang out upstairs at our roof deck while you wait if you'd like to. You know, and it's like, stop stuffing your roof deck down my throat. Get my room ready. So I understand, 2 o'clock, I'm early. I go, no, we'll go get some lunch. We'll come back. We get back at 3:15, okay? The lady's like, the room's still not ready. Check-in's 4 o'clock. You can't even get me in 45 minutes early. You know I came all the way from New York. I told you. So I go to the girl, do you have any idea when the room will be ready? Bro, she just looks at me and goes, no. That's it. No.
Yeah, nothing.
This is where you're supposed to go. Let me make a phone call. Let me call the house manager, the housekeeping. I'll look in. Nothing. When I worked front desk and a guy or someone needed to get in early and the room wasn't ready, I would literally go, sir, if you just want to have a seat in the lobby, I'll put a rush on that room. I'll keep calling when it's ready. I'll bring the key right out. You don't have to come check back in. I'm really sorry. You know? You don't just go, no.
Yeah.
But you can when you have a roof deck, because my roof deck is so beautiful, I don't even have to be nice to you. So anyway, we wait around, and they finally get us in at 4 o'clock. And I don't know where I was going with that, bro. It's just the service in these...
No, places. You were saying that you wanted to sit down there.
Oh, right. That's right. After I got back, when I had 45 minutes to wait, Jackie's like, well, you want to go up to the roof deck now and wait till 4? And I'm like, no, man. I want to stay in the lobby, and I want them to feel my presence.
Yeah, feel the presence. That's what you got. You want stuff done, apparently, according to Pete. You have to let the people know that you're waiting.
Exactly. And the lobby wasn't big, and there's a couple of chairs, and we just sat there, and I would say stuff like to Jackie really loud. I'm like, this is ridiculous. 40 minutes. I guess at 4:01 I can be upset though, huh? I guess at 4:01, is that when I can make it? But I'm only saying it to Jackie, and she's kind of like rolling her eyes because even she was like, yeah, this is pissing me off. Then another couple older than us comes down from the roof deck, and the guy's bathing suit is still wet, and he's got the T-shirt on that's wet right around where it wraps around the bathing suit, and he's got his drink in his hand. He's like, is our room ready yet? The woman's like, no, it's probably not going to be ready until about 4:30. This is beyond check-in time. And the guy goes, we got our stuff in our friend's room. We really want to transfer it over. We have some place to go. And she's like, yeah, it's just not ready yet. I'm sorry. And then he goes back upstairs. The woman turns to me and goes, your room will be ready in 10 minutes, sir. I said to Jackie, see, that's because when you go up to that roof deck, they think they just bought another 40 minutes. You stay down here. She goes, you really think it helps that you stay down here? I go, I wouldn't want to fucking deal with me if I was in the lobby. I'd want to get me out of there as quick as possible. So anyway.
You talk about the guy in the bathing suit, and it brought up something for me about people walking around the hotel in robes. Have you seen that?
No, not often.
Yeah, people, like, if they're going to the spa or whatever, they put their robe on, and a couple will walk through the lobby to go to the spa in their slippers and robes. How do you feel? I mean,
yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, okay. I know
how comfortable do you got to be to throw a robe on and walk around in public with it?
Oh, God. Even the move, like the heavy set guy usually is, and he's all wet when he comes into the lobby for something from the pool. Like that's okay. Like, you don't have to dry off and put a shirt on. Just coming in like a fish, you know, on the shoreline, bouncing around. And no, yeah. The whole hotel isn't a fucking pool area just because you're hanging at the pool. You can't stroll the whole building.
There's certain areas for certain things. The pool is made for bathing suit wet. You can't bring wet into the lobby. I'm sorry.
No, man. Absolutely not.
God.
Oh, man.
So what did you do last night after the Conan thing? Please tell me you went out and had a few.
No. I'll tell you what we did. We just went back to the hotel, and we had a fantastic dinner upstairs. I had a Coke. And then after dinner, when you were texting, I was falling asleep. I was already laying in bed.
Oh, man.
I was asleep by 10.
You do Conan O'Brien, and you go and have a Coca-Cola in your room?
No, the Petit Hermitage has a gorgeous restaurant up there on the roof deck, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said you went upstairs and you went into your room and had a Coca-Cola.
There was a couple next to us. They were the only other couple up there, right? And they were behind us. And it was a woman and a man, obviously. I said couple. And they were starting to get cozy and romantic. And he mentioned his wife a few times, right? So it was clear there was some sort of an affair going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to Jackie, I go, even if I was going to cheat on you, I go, I wouldn't bring you up to the chick, right? Like, I go, if I was going to cheat on you and you were the chick and you said, oh, I understand you and your wife have a summer home about, I and then I put my lips to Jackie's mouth and I go, I don't have a wife tonight. Right? I wouldn't talk about you. I mean, that's how blatant people just cheat. It's unbelievable. The guy's like, yeah, my wife and I, we really like to get away and go up to Malibu, you know, just gonna fuck you tonight, but when I'm not, me and my wife like to go to Malibu. Jesus.
I think the wife would be off limits if you're having an affair or whatever you're doing, and she goes, you know, so does your wife have a big family?
Yeah.
I'd have to say, fuck are you don't talk about my wife when we're out. You know, like,
how dare you talk about my wife when I'm cheating on her? Show some respect. Right? Like, yeah. Did they do that? Did they literally lay in bed afterwards and the woman's like, God, I could go for some ice cream. What flavor does your wife like?
Oh, she's a chocolate gal.
Well, how about the kids? If you have kids with your wife and then you have an affair and she brings up the homewrecker brings up the kids, are the kids off limits too?
Hmm. I don't think the kids are off limits because I'm not really cheating on my kid. You know what I mean?
But well, if she goes, you know, so what does your son do? Is it okay for you to go, don't ever talk about my son that I had with my wife?
No, well, then you can say that about, I hear you drive a nice, you know, Isuzu. Hey, don't bring up the car I drive my wife to church in on Sundays. So basically, Sebastian, God forbid, if you're ever going to cheat, it's like all you get is this body. You don't talk about anything. You just make love to this body, and then you leave.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I tell you, though, what would be worse if you had kids, okay, and your wife cheated on you would be awful. But I think what would be worse is not only if my wife cheated on me, but she had my kid playing with the guy she was cheating on me's kid. Like, they became friendly.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? If the kid, if it's like your visitation, and you go to Sadie, and Sadie goes, you know what me and Tom did today? You'd be like, oh, God. Tom!
Oh, man, that would be... And then you go, who's Tom?
Would you rather know, though? I mean, if your wife... I don't know, man. If your wife was dating somebody else and they're spending time with your kid, that's got to be tough on a guy.
If your wife was cheating, like for me, if Jackie cheated, I mean, done. That's it. And I would try... I told her to. I would try to be so cool about it. Like, I wouldn't even get hopped up. I'd just be like, all right, well, you blew that. My lawyer will get a hold of your lawyer. I'm going to go to a hotel. Take care. And just never, not give her the satisfaction of, why would you do that? What the fuck?
Yeah, you would just shut it down.
Shut it down. She goes, wow, that would be so cold. I'm like, right? Ice. I'd be like, okay, so take care. Good luck. And I hope you don't look back on this and realize you made the biggest mistake of your life. And then as soon as she left the room, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm fucking here. And then she knocks on the door because she forgot something. She comes in. I'm like, oh, you again. Huh. I was just getting ready to order a pizza. You got to be stoic, man.
Stoic. Just like, yeah. Pat, listen, I'm sorry you really did that. And, you know, I'm going to leave now. And you have a nice life, okay? I mean, if you could do that... I think it would literally drive the other person crazy.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you've ever saw this Old School, but when Will Ferrell wants to get back with his wife and she doesn't, and he just, like, reaches out and touches her chin with his hand, and he goes, okay, then, good stuff, good stuff. It was fucking hilarious, man.
Oh, God.
So, of course... Sebastian and Lana, we asked them to pick a cool restaurant. We give a certain description of what we're looking for, and just absolute home run. And this is what I love about hanging out with Lana and Sebastian in L.A. You get the true, authentic L.A. experience.
They Protein.
Took us Laurel. What was it called? The Laurel Hardware Store?
Laurel Hardware, yeah.
Laurel Hardware, folks. It used to be a hardware store that was converted into a restaurant. And one of these restaurants where they tell you how the meat is all from animals that have been grass-fed and all the produce comes from the local farmers' markets and they just bring it all out and you share. And it's just like, you know, if you're going to go to L.A., then do L.A. right. And That's the beauty, man. You guys are great hosts, and we had a great time. And we went Dutch, no problem. We just split it down the middle with the checks.
Split it down the middle. There was some significance to the restaurant that it used to be a hardware store. And it's the first place. Actually, they used to sell furniture there as well. And that's where I bought my first bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so a little history there. But anyway, we wanted to sit outside, and actually
Hold on. Well, I can't believe what you just brought up. What do you mean? Are you Jim Morrison? You're telling everybody where you bought your first bed? That's interesting to me.
Well,
it's a bed.
Yeah, but it's like my first bed in L.A.
So I was like, was that a big moment, man? Were you like, it's my first, I'm really just gonna sleep here. Wow.
This is the first time that I've been on my own coming out to Los Angeles at 24 years old, starting my dream, and that's where I bought my bed.
See, but the listeners, this shows a confidence that you have to make it to be a star. In some level, I feel like a part of you was like, eventually they're gonna write my bio. I should make a mental note of where I got my first bed. They're gonna want to know that in the book.
Yeah, it's like where Rocky, where Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky.
I love it, man. I've had notebooks that I was gonna throw out. I'm like, why would I throw this out? My daughter could auction this off at Christie's for 50 grand someday. I mean, if Lennon's selling napkins with scribblings on them, fuck.
Yeah, why not?
So, all right, we were eating at a restaurant where Sebastian Maniscalco bought his first bed to lay his head to start the dream that's just growing, baby.
Yeah. So, we had a good time there. Now, we found out at dinner that Pete apparently got a tweet from, was it a mayor or governor?
The senator, Chuck Schumer, the senator of New York State. A senator of New York State.
Is it Schumer or Schumacher?
Oh, yeah. Schumer. Schumacher is the love master.
So Pete gets this text or this tweet that goes out promoting your appearance on the Conan O'Brien show. And you just let the tweet rest there. No tweet back, no nothing. So we had to coach you through a response on the tweet. And for those of you people, Pete, this is how down-to-earth Pete is. Pete will tweet back at just a fan of the show or someone that's tweeting. But the senator, he goes, nah, I'm good.
Well, because that's why I showed it to you. I'm like, bro, I showed you the thing and it says the Senate. I go, this doesn't mean like the actual senator is like sitting in his office tweeting about me, right? And you guys are like, no, I'm sure it doesn't. He's probably someone who works for him that might be a fan or whatever. And if I really thought the senator was reaching out to me, I'd reach back. You know what I'm saying? Like if J.J. Watt ever tweeted to me, I'd know that that's J.J. Watt. He doesn't have, you know, someone who does his tweets. But the senator, I mean, come on.
Maybe he does.
That was my way of saying, J.J. Watt, throw a fucking tweet. I'm kidding, bro. What a beast, though, huh?
Oh, man, 80-yard TD run.
I just have to say, because I know he listens to the cast, he ruined my mother's heart. Broke a heart. She watches every Bills game, sat there. They look like they have a good team. Then he intercepts it, goes 80 yards with it. Now A.J. Manuel's benched. The Bills are in disarray. All because the big white beast from Houston came to town.
That's right, man. And just a side note here, he tweeted yesterday that he bought his mother a car. I think it was a Range Rover for her birthday. And it was his dream to buy his mother a car when he had enough money to do it. And he did it. And it's nice, man. It's a nice guy. I wish I told him he should run a seminar on how to be as a man.
I don't know. I'm telling you, you guys are going to be destined to do a commercial together.
Something.
Yeah, it'll be funny. By the way, he couldn't buy his mother a car last year?
Well, you know.
And you need $100 million before you feel comfortable buying your mother a Datsun? What the fuck?
Oh, maybe he wanted to feel secure. You know, you never know with the NFL. He could, you know, it's guaranteed money he got. I know at least, I think, $50 million of it. So he figures, you know what? I think I'm good now.
Yeah, Ma. Wow.
So, yeah, we went out, and then I threw this on Kathy, Jackie and Pete at dinner. I had to put together a set for Jimmy Fallon, and it was kind of, they told me Monday, it was Tuesday that we were going out, so I felt bad that I had to impose on our night by going to the Comedy Store and doing the 5-minute set, and I mentioned it to you, and I have to tell you, you being a comedian, you looked at me as if, the fuck we got to do this for? I mean, there was no sympathy whatsoever. And I know it was something that was out of the blue, and it was a night that we were spending together. But I really had, you know, I was trying to get this on tape, and you were like, why can't you do it in Philadelphia?
Well, you know, because there's also an aspect to this, too, because the Fallon people saw parts of your special, and they're interested in having you do stand-up. And I'm sitting there thinking, why don't you just not send them anything? The special comes out, and then you just go sit on the fucking couch, and we skip all this shit.
I would love to
well,
do
that's
that.
What's going to happen when your next special comes out. You're going to be a rock star. They're sitting there going, let's see if we can get a quick five out of him before, you know, he's going to only be couch material. So, and you know, that's a compliment, obviously.
The difference between doing stand-up on these shows and doing the couch is what? Because basically, you have a comedian come on the couch, he does his material sitting down with somebody asking him questions. So, what's the difference?
Oh, it's a status symbol, man. Like, you know, you, to get invited to the couch means you're on a whole new level of celebrity. You know what I mean? That's what I always thought.
So to do the performance is lesser than sitting on the couch.
Yes. I mean, guys like Seinfeld, because he's just so old school and classic, he still always wants to do stand-up. And I'm sure you and I would, although if I have a really hit, I'm like, I ain't doing no 4.5, though. We're doing 10. But as far as the couch, yeah, it's this, it's symbolic of, you know, breaking bread. It's like we're breaking bread. Yeah, you're doing stand-up. You're in my house. But now you're sitting down. We're eating together.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, right now they're like, well, we can still get them to just, you know, it's like right now, you know, comedy clubs are like getting their last run at you before you go to theaters and before you sit on the couch. It's a process.
Well, Seinfeld not only does the damn stand-up, he also gets to sit on the couch for another 10.
Well, when Seinfeld comes on talk shows, the host goes, Jesus, I hope he doesn't decide to take my job halfway through. That's how big Seinfeld is. He's like, you know what? We're calling it the Seinfeld show. Let him in, just retire now. Goodbye. And the network will go, we'll fucking get him a contract.
Oh, God. So, we go do the set. The set sucked.
This is you because you were, there's no way it was going to work. It was a Tuesday night. You weren't totally committed. And
it was bad.
It was so funny because then some woman said something. First of all, you were up there for like 2 minutes. I turned to Jackie. I'm like, I know he's not sending this tape in. I know he's not. it just wasn't packed anyway. It was a small, intimate thing. And then some woman said something, and I don't even think it was mean. I don't know what it was. I thought it was like she was kind of like a fan. And you go, oh, so goddamn funny. There's a reason they didn't give you a microphone on the way in.
I think I called her a shithead.
Did you? I don't know. All the L.A. comics in the back were laughing. I mean, the Comedy Store, if you're ever in L.A., and, you know, you're a Sebastian fan, you find out he's going to be on at the store. I mean, that's like seeing someone in their home ballpark doing batting practice. You'll really enjoy it. It's fun. Oh, that is your terrible club, man.
It was terrible. So we went there, and then we got back to the house, and we got a phenomenal gift from the Corielli's. It's a candle from Toby Tobin, which is a store that sells not only furniture, but amazing chocolates and candles, and some barbecue sauce from, God, what the fuck is that place called?
The Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York.
Anchor Bar in Buffalo, which I've been to.
Which is the original creation of the Buffalo Wing. Some lady who owned the bar. Boys were coming back, her boy and some friends, and they were hungry, and all she had left were the wings, which were part of the chicken usually throw out. And her and her husband were like, well, let's just throw some sauce on it and fry it up. Bam.
And the wing was created.
Exactly, dude. The wing was created. Getting back a few feet there, too, when we were talking about your house.
The house, the candle.
Oh, yeah. I figured the candle would be right in your wheelhouse because it was
overpriced candle. That's perfect, oh, right?
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
kidding me with that store? The lady takes the damn candle, right? And she puts it down and she goes, I handmade these all myself. I pour them myself. And then she opens up the box and she goes, I just like to double check and make sure it came out right. And she takes the candle out and she bends down so her eyes are at the same level as the candle. And she puts up both hands and frames the candle in between her hands and looks at it and then goes, perfect. And wraps it back up and hands it to us. How?
Huh.
And she made the candle. That's...
Shouldn't that have been done earlier when she made the candle? Shouldn't that like all be done already? Why is she yeah. checking it when you're buying it?
Because, right? Because she wants to let me know how great of a work she did. That would be like after you do a good joke, you look out at the crowd and go, that was fucking beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Let's continue. Here's another one. Here's another one. And then she goes, have you had our chocolates? And I go, no, we haven't. And it's funny because right after that, when we got out, Jackie goes, guy, that's the place Lana and Sebastian gave us the chocolates from. Because yeah. the lady goes, have you had our chocolates? And we go, no, we haven't. And she goes, we're famous for our chocolates. And like, you're not famous if I don't know. Right? if you have to, I don't know, it drives me nuts. To me, you would have to, I would have to say, hey, you got any of those chocolates you're famous for?
So if you're saying the person that's selling whatever they're selling, they're famous for, and you don't know it, they're not famous.
Right. If I say, wow, why is there such a line? And then she goes, well, we're famous for our chocolates. Absolutely. But if I'm the only one in the store, and you're asking me about your chocolates, and I never even heard of them. You're saying you're famous for them. Yeah, well, you're not in my, not from my camp.
They don't even make the chocolates.
That's what you told me when I got to your house. I was outraged.
I thought the chocolates are not even Toby Tobin chocolates. They're Kelly. John Kelly makes these chocolates. By the way, it's the best chocolate I've ever had. If you're in L.A., or they even sell them online. This is another promotion here. This is another commercial we should have, but I'm going to do some free publicity anyway. John Kelly chocolates in LA. Phenomenal chocolate. Go online, especially the holiday season coming up. Get yourself or get your loved ones a box of John Kelly, and you'll be the hit of the party.
All right. I got to ask you, though, because they had a little bit of candy pieces of chocolate in the dish. And after I paid for the candle, they were like, have some chocolate. So I tried a piece, and Jackie doesn't have chocolate because she gets migraines. She goes, how was it? I go, it was really good. And then I pause and I go, but so was a Snickers. And I'm being completely honest. If you chopped up a Snickers and put it on a toothpick and then chopped up a John Kelly, I'm sorry, is it John Kelly?
Yeah, John Kelly.
John Kelly, and you put both the Snickers and the John Kelly, you're wildly more satisfied with the John Kelly than you are with the Snickers.
First of all, your tongue needs to get revamped.
Of course. Of course.
And there's a sea salt chocolate there, and I don't know what one you had, but the sea salt chocolate one with the salt and the chocolate combination, fantastic. I don't know what one you had. It could have been one that wasn't as good. But the sea salt, fuck, the chocolate's great all around. I don't know what you're talking about, Snickers.
Wait, what are you talking about? My tongue needs to be revamped? I thought you meant from trying one to the other. No, my tongue is fine. My point is a Milky Way, a Snickers. We have Valvo's chocolate by ours. I mean, isn't most chocolate, it's great, dude. And I'm just saying to pay sometimes crazy prices for, like, you know, is the Godiva that much better than Russell Stover's? I'm asking you.
I happen to notice the difference.
Okay.
I happen to know, when it comes to chocolate, at least, high-end chocolate, I could taste the difference between that and a Snickers bar.
Next time we are face to face, I'm doing a chocolate test. Absolutely. I'm going to get you some sort of version of John Kelly's peanut butter cup, and I'm going to get you a Reese's peanut butter cup.
You don't get me some version.
Well, you get me
the Kelly.
I know, but I'm saying I'm sure Kelly has a peanut butter cup of some sort.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so I'll get you the Magic Kelly peanut butter cup and Reese's. I may even just get some fucking peanut butter and chocolate and dip that shit, too. Great chocolate, though.
Sexual chocolate.
Jackie loved the house, by the way, of course. I knew she would.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time at the house. Had some drinks. I brought out a little prosciutto that nobody ate. I was starving. Starving. I was eating my own apps.
Yeah, we ate a whole meal. Then we get back to the house, and you're like, three times, anyone want any prosciutto? And we're all like, no, you sure? And then you just pull it out and start stuffing it down.
Oh, I was so hungry. Couple things here that I noticed that I'll bring up. Did you and Jackie go into the bathroom together?
Yes.
Now, did you go into the bathroom because that's what you guys normally do? Or did you go into the bathroom to discuss an exit strategy? I've never seen a couple go to the bathroom together at a house.
I know, right? I gotta tell you, it's this simple, man. We have a very good time hanging out with you guys. Very good time. I mean, just totally hanging. It just seems very organic, you know? Yeah. And we were talking, and Jackie and I were talking about something, and we reached the bathroom, and I just literally said, fuck it, just come in. And we just finished talking about it. And while we're in there, she's like, yeah, we're both in the bathroom at the same time. And I literally go, eh, what the fuck? He knows we're just both talking. Because there's none of that. Because, and by the way, you already had water, and you had an early flight, and I had Conan. So I knew we were done hanging, and there's no exit strategy with you. You're my bud, man. Yeah. It was just a coincidence that it ended up that way. Really, nothing more, nothing less. But once I was in there, I was like, oh, what the fuck am I?
Because I went to Lana, I didn't see you guys go in there, and then after you left, and I asked her, did they go to the bathroom together? She goes, yeah. What the fuck was that all about?
I got to bring that up to Jackie. I totally forgot about that.
Holy shit.
God. Oh, man.
So let's talk about what you did to get yourself in the Fredonia newspaper.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was funny.
I put the article up on our page.
You did? Oh, cool, yeah. Dude.
Well, yeah, it's up there. I put that up there, and I also put your appearance up on Conan up there.
Oh, by the way, too, when we went to Sebastian's, what's always a nice little added thing when you visit someone in a situation that they're in, as soon as we got to the house, the first thing we did after we all got drinks, we checked the cages.
Oh, check the cage.
No action, but I saw the cages, man. They're up to four. You got four of those things now, right? Four.
You got four possum. We were thinking about getting rid of it, but we're keeping it for the weekend just to see if we've cleaned house. But we think we've captured them all.
Yeah, that was. That's a big score there for that guy. It got to be, once you got past three, you said the hell with the 75, and you got a buddy just taking them, right?
I had a buddy come over and dispose of one because this guy's making a fortune on me, $75. Go scratch. And then $35 to rebake the damn thing? This guy charged me $35 for peanut butter. I said, guy, I can go get it for $1.42 over at Save-On, and I'll install it myself, $35
yeah, man.
For peanut butter.
What are you putting, John Kelly fucking chocolates in that cage?
So, you do this, what did you do, call as yourself?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got this local newspaper called the Dunkirk Fredonia Evening Observer, and I've been reading it. Whenever I'm in town, I would read it. And then when I move there, I read it. I'm addicted to it, man. It's a little 10 to 15 page newspaper that comes out every day. And it's pretty much, well, I talked about it with you on the air recently. So what I wanted to do, because they bring up like every little thing, like one guy a few towns away was at the Grammys as a special guest of somebody, not playing music or anything. They've been writing articles ever since about the guy, like Ray Charles lives in fucking Main Street. So they make a big deal out of nothing. So I was going to have you call up and pretend to be a cousin and say, you know, my cousin moved to your town and he's low key about everything, but he's a comedian and I know he reads your paper and I just thought it would be cool if you knew he's going to be on Conan and he's done some other things. But, you know, I never got around to it with you. And then it became 2 days before I was going to be on Conan. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to call these guys up. So I call up the paper, right? And I go, hey, man, this is a really, on my end, I feel like this is a really pretentious conversation I'm about to have with you. But my wife has been on me to call you. And I said, you know, I'm a comedian. I live in Fredonia. Big fan of your paper. And I know you guys are into it when local people are doing anything. So I just wanted to tell you I'm going to be on Conan in a couple of days. And, you know, because I did, part of me was like, man, it would be cool if the people around town knew so they could put it on.
Yeah.
And it is true that Jackie was like, guy, you should just call them and tell them. So then the guy's like, oh, wow, that is interesting. Can we call you back? So I said, yeah, you know. So obviously they Googled me because I'm not famous. And he calls right back. And, you know, we end up talking for like an hour to the point where Jackie's like, wrap it up. But the thing is, the guy, I don't, like, we're chatting, and I don't know what he's going to use and what he's not, and he's just chatting with me and stuff. And I even said, I go, dude, if you don't want to put any of this in the paper, I just figured I'd let you know. And I, also because I went to school here and this, that. And he's like, no, this is really interesting stuff. We're really into this. And he's like, where do you live now anyway, by the way? And I go, oh, I just on the corner, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It's in the paper now. I go, on the corner of Temple and Risley, right? Hmm. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. So next day, it's front page, right? And then in the article, Jackie's reading, and she goes, guy, what the fuck? It says Temple and Risley. You know, and it could only be one house. I go, what? And she goes, he put exactly where we live. Dude, you know? I mean, and right now, I'm in the middle of getting estimates on a paint job. That's enough for these people to go, oh, he was on TV. I'm going to jack on $2,000. I'm like, I'll tell you, you get $500 for doing Conan, and your manager takes 50, so fuck.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? I was reading that, and even somebody commented, is it common for the paper to put the ad, not even, I mean, this is like an address almost.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
Come on, man, where's the privacy?
I just assumed the way he asked that, we were just off the record. He's like, by the way, where do you live? And I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, no, I got an uncle around the corner. So, yeah, that was a little, and then basically just, I go to Jackie, obviously recorded the conversation because he almost wrote everything I said, you know, and then when it started to get into what, have any advice, bro, if you're interviewing like a doctor or something, no one ever asks, it's always with comedians, got any advice? If you're going to get started in comedy, got any advice?
So
what would be your one big piece of advice if you had one piece, if you could give a comedian, Mr. Maniscalco, one piece of advice, what would it be to a young
I would just have to say to get up on stage every night, every place you can, just get up on stage. It's like anything else. You got to work out the muscle. I compare it to a bodybuilder, right? The bodybuilder doesn't become a bodybuilder and ready for show overnight. It's a lot of hard work. So that's what I would say. But what I really want to say is, you know what my advice is? Be funny. And if you're not funny, you shouldn't be getting into the business. There's just, the main thing about comedy is you have to have a sense of humor and you have to be funnier by 10 times the average person.
Do you really think that? Because like, what about some of these great, well, you're talking to do stand-up comedy, okay, not just to be a comedy writer.
No, I'm talking to stand-up performance comedy. You have to be so far beyond, just like an athlete, has to be so far beyond the average man or woman to excel in their sport. Same thing with comedy. You have to be so far more funnier than the average Joe up on the street that you would actually think you would have a shot doing this.
But you mean just hanging out with your friends? You have to be funnier than your friends and stuff? Or when you get on stage and you tell jokes, you have to be really good? Because, you know, we know a lot of comics that aren't funny off stage.
Yeah, and they're not funny.
So in your opinion, any comedian you know that's worth a salt, in your opinion, they're funny off stage too?
I would think you would have to have some sense of comedy off stage to really be a successful comedian. No?
I don't know how to take that. I'm just saying, I know a lot of comedians that when they sit down at a table next to me, I'm like, I'm not going to laugh. But then I know when they're on stage, they will maybe make me laugh because they have great jokes. So I don't know.
I don't know. I found out the people that are fun to hang out with are fun to watch perform too.
I will agree with that. I will say that any comic that I'm a huge fan of is usually funny off stage too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So there you go. If Sebastian hits you with that bodybuilding shit, just know deep down he's saying, if you're not funny, don't waste our time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they did the little write-up. I don't know. I'm expecting when I land tomorrow. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe a parade on Sunday.
You would think now your house is part of, like, a tour, like a bus tour around Fredonia, where, you know, like how they do the Hollywood tours, and yeah. This is where so-and-so lives. I would think that it's got to be a stop on the tour where you're going to have a bus outside your house and go, that's where Pete lives, Pete Corleone lives.
There ain't going to be no tour for Fredonia, but I'm just hoping everybody forgets that was in the paper. Just let's forget that part. Maybe I should do a correction, make them do a correction and give a different address.
It's out there, bro. It's out there.
That's
Can't
bad.
Take it back.
That's fucking bad. I'm not happy with that.
Well, did you tell the guy you're calling? What the hell are you putting me in? I mean, I'm a public figure. What are you putting my address in the fucking paper for?
What does it matter now, though? You know? It's just nothing.
But they got to know. The next time they do an interview, you can't give up the location of the people that you're interviewing.
I know, right? For all I know, they're going to have a review of it tomorrow with a photo of my porch.
Yeah.
So anyway. So when do we get the big announcement about the big announcement, if you know what I'm saying? About your...
I'll give it to you right now. November 14th. Set your calendars to November 14th calendar. I don't even know if people even have a calendar anymore. Showtime, 11 p.m., worldwide premiere of my new special entitled Aren't You Embarrassed? So that's November 14th, 11 o'clock, Showtime. And if you miss it then, they're going to be replaying the hell out of it. But I would like everybody to tune in. It's a Friday night. If you go out with your wife or your family for a little dinner, come back, pop it on. A lot of people are talking on social media right now of having a viewing party. I'm going to be doing a contest around the viewing party. So that's the big announcement. And
that is great,
yeah.
Man. That is great. I remember when Dice's special came out and we all couldn't wait in college to get together, get that quarter barrel. And we're like, the party doesn't start till after the Dice show. Then we'll have the house party. So even college kids, man, get your boys together. Get that date in the books. November 14th. House November parties. 14th. Everybody get together. Do your thing early. Have a little dinner. Get back to the house. You're going to laugh your fucking ass off. And let me tell you, I've seen some of the footage. It looks fantastic on top of that. This ain't just one camera slapped in the back of a room getting a guy with a mic 10,000 yards away.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say. I'm proud of the special. And, that's that.
I tell you, though, I got to say, I know you decided not to go with the helicopter. And now, knowing it's November 14th, that would have been hot. The helicopter. That's the next one.
You know what? It would have been great. It would have been great to have that thing. It was $5,000. If you know, just thinking about it now, I wish I would have done it.
What was it going to be? Or you might do it on something else, so you don't want to give it away.
Oh, this was going to be the helicopter would be coming over Lake Michigan, right? That's the starting point.
Yeah.
And you would see the helicopter just like coming in with the water, right? City in the background. Now we're coming close up on the city. The helicopter's knifing through the city, right? Going around buildings, this, that, and the other thing. Then the helicopter comes and it starts zooming in on a window of a hotel room. And in the window is me getting ready.
You could have had that for $5,000.
$5,000. A helicopter that's right outside my window, my hotel room, getting ready.
For another $2,000, they throw in a Roy Scheider lookalike in the helicopter to make it look like that old movie Blue Thunder.
Oh man.
And so it would have had you like maybe the helicopter zooms in and as you doing your classic fixing your cufflinks or something.
Something in the mirror. Then I might have turned to the helicopter and gave him a look like, what? And then boom, right into the show.
Oh my God, bro. If you would have told me that ahead of time, we would have did a Kickstarter for the dumb 5G for the helicopter. Oh, God. Hilarious.
Oh, man.
Hold on one sec. The hotel phone's ringing. I got to get this one sec. Shit.
I got to wrap this shit up. All right.
Where are you?
The helicopter's fucking hilarious.
Helicopter.
Next week I'll be in Louisville and then East Providence after that. How about yourself?
I'm here in Philadelphia. Then I got a couple weeks off. The next show is at the Improv in West Palm Beach, Florida, I believe October 17th, 18th, and 19th. So go to Sebastian Live and get your ticket. What the fuck is this?
All right.
All right, Matt. Good chatting.
Yeah.
That's the end of our show. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
The show has ended.
I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood or man.
Thank you, John.